Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we come to you from the Twin Peaks studios. We documented yesterday that within 2 minutes to go in the first half of Sunday's win over the Jaguars, 79 precious seconds dripped off the clock in the final 2 minutes of the first half when you had three timeouts. We've been complaining about the clock mismanagement. Every show on this great radio station has been complaining about it, and a lot of you at Barstools have been complaining about it. And Clint, what was the number one most frustrating aspect of that clock mismanagement to you?
To me, the most frustrating part of the entire thing is that Bill O'Brien will not just own the mistake. You know, I mean, I guess timelined it yesterday where 2017 versus the Colts, there was an issue, and it was one of those, instead of just addressing the media and answering the question, it was, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about the questions. I don't want to answer the questions. I don't want to field the questions about it. And you fast forward to 2018 after New England, I think that was the famous it ain't my job response. And then week one versus New Orleans.
Hi, Bill.
You know, there was an issue with the two timeouts and the challenge issue there. And then this past week, it's to me, there's a lot of times, Rick, when you talk about, I hear people bang on Bill O'Brien about these things. I go, even the New Orleans deal, you go, okay, let's say you called a timeout and you plan to call a timeout and that's what you were going to do. Or you called a timeout to give you more time to look at the whether you should throw the flag or not. Okay, you should throw the challenge flag or not. Okay, at that point, you've already wasted that timeout. That timeout's already used. That decision's behind you. And now you're in a position of, okay, do I challenge or do I not? And if you think that you can win the challenge, you gotta throw the flag, right? So, I mean, you can't not throw the challenge flag because you've already made a mistake calling the timeout. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's one of those things where I can understand in the moment, boom, things are rolling, you got a lot going on, and you make a decision right now, bam, and then another decision has to be made. You put yourself in a position where you have to make another decision, and the outcome is something that we pull apart and we cuss and discuss. And those kind of things, I can understand. And I think those kind of things happen across the league from time to time. And it's not a rarity. But Sunday, Coach, Sunday was the most blatant clock mismanagement situation mismanagement that I've seen. And so at some point, I just expected that situation warranted the coach going, hey, man, I botched that one from the jump. I botched it. And so to answer your question, the most concerning part of it to me right now is the inability for Coach Bill O'Brien to go to the podium afterwards and not get aggravated when he gets asked questions about it. And then in response, have something. Give me something. Give me something along the lines of, man, I just dropped the damn ball. Trust me, I've been in a game before. I dropped the ball. I went to the mics. Hey, man, I screwed it up. My team, trust me, every snap to take the snap and handle the rock. And I dropped the ball. I let my team down, and I dropped the ball. And, I mean, that was the worst day of my career, much less, a decision that I made as a quarterback. So, to me, the most concerning aspect of the entire clock management issues that have gone on for multiple years in Houston is the inability to go to the mic and just own it.
So, Bill O'Brien has had 1, 2, 3 opportunities to do exactly what you want.
Right.
Sunday after the game, Monday morning press conference, and the Bill O'Brien show last night. So, 3 opportunities, and he did not admit to making a mistake. In fact, he continued to support his decision.
But Rick, I mean, the thing is it's like, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's not hard for me being on the sideline, knowing what goes on the sideline. It's not hard to go, hey, man, the clock got away from him a little bit. It is what it is. I would love to be able to come in here and go to everybody that's banging on Deshaun and banging on Bill O'Brien and go, hey, guys, man, if you ain't ever been there, man, you need to shut the hell up because you have no clue, right? I would love to be able to do that because it's not – even as bad as Sunday was, it's one of those things where, again, the clock gets away from coaches all the time. And he's wearing a lot of hats, and there's a conversation to be had about that. We don't have to agree or disagree. It's just a But then when you don't own it, it's just one of those. You just go, man, I can't talk about, I can't have a conversation about it when you go to the mic and you don't own it, and you almost try to justify the decisions and the plays and the outcome of the drive. And you're just like, no, you can't. Don't do that. You can't. That can't be the case.
Well, Bill O'Brien's justification continued on the Bill O'Brien Show yesterday, Clint. This time talking about the end of the first half drive and tripling down on what he did during the game.
We got all the plays run that we wanted to run. We got them run probably a little bit slower than we wanted them to run. So but we got the ball down to the 2-yard line with a chance to score a touchdown. And we felt like we had a good drive there.
See, so I disagree. Just the bare basics of it, right? You didn't get all the plays ran that you wanted to run because you kicked a field goal on second down.
You left second and third down on the table.
You left two plays on the table that a timely timeout would have saved.
And so, one timeout.
And then again, and so it's one of those that it's so bizarre to me that
this one's obvious. There's not gray area with this one, right? There's some clock management stuff that there's maybe some gray area. Gray area with this.
Very correct.
Late first half against Jacksonville.
Right, right. And there's no gray area about. So when you go and you say that, when you're asked about the issues, like we ran every play that we wanted to run. I mean, you wanted to be forced into a position where you had to throw a 31-yard pass that the guy fortunately got out of bounds. You know, with 15 seconds left from the clock.
You wanted three instead of seven.
I mean,
there's
so much. There's just so much more to unpack with that situation. If you're the coach after the game. And hell, you would think after a win would be a perfect opportunity to go, you know what, man? Here's what I should have done. I should have called a damn timeout here. And we even after we got down there, our quarterback, we should have coached him up better, and he should have known, do not hold the ball and chew 7 seconds up. Make a quick decision, get the ball out so that we can then run another play, draw up another play to give us a chance to score. And if you don't then we'll kick a field goal on third down instead of second down. And then you only waste one down instead of two. And so there's so much meat on that bone to talk about and to chew on that when it's just like, oh, no, we did what we wanted to do. That's just blatant disregard for the real situation. And again, like I said, most of the time I side with the coach speak and the look, guys, it was a 10-second decision. It was right, you know, spur of the moment. I get that. But man, this one, the other concerning thing to me, Rick, about this deal is that nobody on the sideline spoke up, right? Is that whether that guy doesn't exist, there's nobody on the sideline that has that power, or it's because Bill O'Brien has built that wall around him where nobody has the guts to go, Coach, man, you got to call a timeout right here. We got to gather our thoughts, right? So those two things to me are more concerning than what happened in the game. You can overcome that in a game. It's tough against better opponents. But you can overcome some of those things in the game. The problem to me is, like, what are we going to deal with moving forward? Like, what are we going to see moving forward? And if nobody on the sideline can step up and help, you know, if nobody can step up and speak up, and you don't, the head coach and the offensive coordinator don't go to bat and say, you know what, we messed that situation up. We'll get better. Then what's going to happen moving forward with the Houston Texans when these situations come up?
Well, I think it's going to be more of same because this has gone on through Bill O'Brien's career here. And as you've mentioned and documented very well, Clint, you know, he pushes back and, you know, in terms of I'm the coach, I'm going to do it my way. And you guys and girls all here can complain, but I'm going to continue to do what I do.
Rick,
and that's
look,
what he's been saying in these post-game press conferences.
Rick, I want you to know, like I err on the side of Bill O'Brien when it comes to how he handles media and how he handles outside attention and how he handles players and how he builds culture and how he's willing to cut ties with guys that we can't understand why he'd cut ties with for the betterment of the team. I usually err on that side of things, but in this situation, I just can't. I mean, I've had multiple conversations about it. I'm just like, guys, I can't even. You didn't put your team in position to win this game the way that an offensive coordinator and essentially a coaching staff should have done. And so there's just no other way around it than to I guess, pick apart what happened.
So as we all complain about the lousy clock management at the end of the first half, Bill O'Brien at the Bill O'Brien Show yesterday giving himself props for the two late timeouts.
I think at the end of the game, we called two timeouts that were very critical, very critical. I think the timeout we called right there was huge. I think that the timeout we called on the onside kick was huge. Yeah, nobody talks about that. Timeouts that we called at the end of the game were two of the most critical timeouts we've called in the last couple of years here. And so, like, you know, there's a lot that goes into game management, more than anybody would ever understand unless you're in football. And so I think that there's a lot that goes into it, and I thought those timeouts at the end and then the ability for Rack and I to get together and talk about that two-point play, what the play might be, those are huge plays in the game.
And look, I don't necessarily have a problem with that conversation right there if it wasn't on the heels of the worst mistake I've seen from a time management standpoint in the first half. And if you didn't get 12 men in the huddle out of one of those timeouts. Right? So when you come out of one of those timeouts, you had 12 in the huddle. And so I agree with the fact that people don't understand. Like to hear people just flippantly talk about how time management is not that difficult. No, it's very difficult. Time management, clock management, situational management. In fact, the only coach I ever played for that like made that type of thing a priority was Bill Parcells. And I didn't do a ton in my career, but I played for a lot of coaches. I played for about 7 coaches professionally and 3 in college. Right, there is no doubt about it. The only one that gave situational football, clock management, even gave it a respectable amount of time was Bill Parcells. And so I think it's overlooked widely across the NFL. Again, I think when other guys do it, they just step to the plate and go, look, I botched that deal. And the Houston Texans head coach and offensive coordinator just appear to want to continue to go to bat over it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.